title, Reviewing My Morning Resolve. Reviewing My Morning Resolve. Brother Sarasi.
Good afternoon, brethren. It's always a good afternoon when we can come together to worship our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. Reviewing My Morning Resolve. Reference numbers are key to Strong's Concordance, and scriptures are taken from the New King James Version, unless otherwise stated. The first appearance of My Morning Resolve was January the 15th, 1913. When this resolve was first published, brethren were attracted to it, and it became a part of their morning devotions. It also became a byproduct of conventions throughout the world. In every Bible student convention I attended, in the past 65 years, my morning resolve was read, which helped us to establish our priorities in life and our dedication and love for our Heavenly Father. It may seem strange that I have chosen the subject, my morning resolve, on the eve of our last convention day. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 21, verses 11 and 12, asked the question, Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The watchman said, The morning cometh, and also the night. The early morning, starting at 12:01 a.m., is the darkest time of the day or night. We are living in the early morning hours of the new day. The same prophet said in chapter 60, verses 1 and 2, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. The word shine is number 215, a prime root word, luminous, also translated break of day, glorious, give or show light. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. My morning resolve is all about consecration and is a personal acclamation of our desire to acknowledge and serve God. The words I, me, my, myself appear 25 times in my morning resolve. This is truly a personal consecration resolve. My earliest thought I desire shall be is a scriptural premise. Psalm 63 verses 1 to 3. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. The word early is number 7836, a prime root word to dawn, to be up early at any task. The implication is earnestness. The earliest thought of a worldly person may be to eat breakfast and rush off to work. The earliest thought of God's children is, What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Psalm 116:12. Benefits is number 8408. Bestowment from 1580. A prime root word meaning make return or payment for a service. Also translated bestow on deal bountifully, recompense, reward. Psalm 68, 19 and 20. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. God, our God, is a God of salvation. And unto God belong the issues, margin, escape from death. As the hymn states, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. Our resolve continues. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. The word I appears 14 times in my morning resolve and identifies who is speaking. When God's consecrated children read or hear this resolve, it finds a kindred response in their hearts, and they accept and become a part of it. When the word I is followed by the word will, I will, it becomes an active, determined desire to fulfill what is being said. The word I appears approximately 4,000 times in the Bible, for good or for evil. In Genesis 22:15-22, God said to Abraham, in blessing, I will bless thee. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand by the seashore. Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. In Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14, Lucifer, who became Satan, used the words, I will, 5 times, expressing his desire and intent of usurpation. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. The cup represents the shed blood of Jesus, his life for the life of Adam and his unborn generations. We are privileged to accept our portion of his ransom now in this gospel age. Jesus said in John 18:11, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The cup refers to the cup. What a faithful, submissive attitude our beloved Lord Jesus displayed. His cup represented the severe experiences and trials that came upon him throughout his consecrated life and his final days on earth. At his supper, taking a cup and giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink all of you out of it, for this is my blood of the covenant, that which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Matthew 26, verses 27 and 28 from Diagla. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. Our daily call for grace, which is a merited favor, is indispensable in our lives. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. Psalms 91, verses 15 and 16. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. The word vow is 5088 from 5087, a prime root word to promise to God, a thing vowed. This is the vow of consecration we made when we dedicated our lives to God. The word pay is 79.99, shalom. This Hebrew word has multiple meanings. The definitions that apply in our lesson are make complete, reciprocate, make good, pay or repay. Remembering the divine call, gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Psalm 50, verse 5. This is a word. This is God's word through the psalmist and is a call to those who will become sons of God, the very elect, the called, chosen, and faithful. Revelation 17, 14. Referring to the church, we read in 1 Peter 1, 2-6 from Barclay, to those who have been chosen in the providence of God the Father, who are traveling on the road to holiness, in the power of the Spirit, who are destined to obey Christ and to share in the new relationship with God, which God made possible by Jesus' sacrificial death. May more and more of God's grace and blessing be with you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy made our lives begin all over again, and who, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, gave us a living hope and the certainty that one day we will enter that immortal, undefiled, and unfading life which he promised to you and which he is keeping in heaven for you. Your faith has made the power of God the guardian of your lives until you reach that salvation which will burst upon the whole world when time comes to an end. You must rejoice in this, even if at the moment you are involved in a situation in which you are bound to be distressed by all kinds of troubles. In 2 Peter 1, 4, we read, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This admonition to remember the divine call is very important to the Lord's people. This is the only call in this gospel age. In 2 Peter 1:10, Peter admonishes us, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fail. These things, among other things, are the fruits of the Spirit in verses 5-9. Realizing the shortness of time and the gracious invitation extended to us, we in unison reply, I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows, continuing the work of sacrificing the flesh and its interests, that I may attain unto the heavenly inheritance in joint heirship with my Redeemer. The next four statements in this resolve help us understand some requirements needed to attain the heavenly reward. I will strive to be simple and sincere toward all. Our English word simple has 10 meanings. In the dictionary, numbers 5-8 apply to the context of this resolve. Unembellished, plain, pure, unadulterated, without guile or deceit, innocent, heartless. Romans 6:19 has a parallel connotation. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. We read in Matthew 18:2-4, Jesus called a little child unto him and set it in the midst of them and said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The word sincere appears twice in the Bible. Philippians 1:10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. And 1 Peter 2:1-3 from the New Revised Standard Version. Rid yourselves therefore of all malice, all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Sincere is taken from 1506, the sun's ray, and 2919, judged by sunlight. That is, tested as genuine, also translated pure. Now these definitions point to the way which God's children present themselves to God, to one another, and to mankind. Our character should witness that we are associates of Jesus, that we are walking with him. Like the poet said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely show the way. I will seek not only to please and honor self, but the Lord. Our Lord Jesus did not seek honor in this world. When one called him good master, he said, call no man good, pointing to his Father as the honorable one. Matthew 19:16-17. In John 5:41, Jesus said, I receive not honor from men. And in verse 44, how can ye, which seek honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Honor is number 1391. From the base of 1380, it means glory, also translated dignity, praise, worship. We should not seek honor of men. Jesus told us when the church will receive honor in John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. The lips and the tongue form the words that the mind and the heart allow to proceed out of our mouths. 1 Peter 3:10 from the Dialogue. For he, wishing to enjoy life and to see good works, let him restrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. James gave us a mini discourse on the tongue. James 1:26 and chapter 3:4-8. I extracted 4 thoughts from these scriptures. A man's religion is vain if he doesn't restrain his tongue. The tongue is a small member which may boast greatly. The tongue is like fire, evil and destructive, and may defile the whole body. Wild beasts can be tamed, but the tongue is untamable. But we're working on it, aren't we, brethren? Proverbs 8:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Yes, the tongue is an index to the heart. Matthew 12:33. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Also, Proverbs 4:23, which states, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And Psalm 68:20, our God is the God of salvation, and unto the Lord belong the issues, margin, escape from death. The word unctuous is not found in the Bible. The dictionary's definition is characterized by a spiritual feeling, fervor, or earnestness, as in seeking to persuade, oily in speech or manner. The word unction appears once in the Bible in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 from the Diglot. You have an anointing, King James unction, from the Holy One, and you know it. Unction is from number 5545, charisma, from 5548, unguent or smearing, which is figurative. It means a special endowment of the Holy Spirit. So our lips should speak words that will be soothing and a blessing and help to all. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, and the brethren, and with all with whom I have to do, not only in great matters, but also in the little things of life. The Bible, from cover to cover, stresses the importance of faithfulness. Faith and its related words appear 360 times in the Bible. Faith is the superstructure of our consecrated lives. In Hebrews 11:6, Paul said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When I was a teenager, Daniel and the three Hebrew youths were my inspiration, and still are. They were highly ranked in Nebuchadnezzar's court and chosen to be members of the king's palace. They withstood the edicts of the greatest monarch of the first universal empire, Babylon. Even though they were exiles and servants of the king, they remembered the covenant their nation made with the Lord God. They were faithful to the laws of that covenant. When schooled for their future position of service to the king, they requested to eat a simple vegetable diet instead of the luxurious menu on the king's table, which would violate their covenant with God. Neither intense fire nor starving lions had power over those faithful servants of God. If we transpose the word faithful, it will read full faith. Our loving Heavenly Father desires that we trust him and be full of faith. Faithful to the truth. The scriptures are explicit. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word will set us apart from the ideologies and wisdom of this present evil world. It is important and imperative that we see light in God's light, never attempting to create light on our own, which will be like turning a flashlight on in the noonday sun. It is important to remember that divine principles and truth should not be bent or modified to fit our preconceived thoughts. Divine truth belongs to God. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens. We must honor and respect God's word so that it may guide us into all truth. John 8:31-32. Faithful to the brethren. Who are our brethren? Jesus asked and then answered this question in Matthew 12:46-50. Verses 49 and 50. He stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Our brethren are Jesus' brethren. He said, Love one another as I have loved you. John 13:34. The Apostle John said, If you love not your brother whom ye have seen, how can you love God whom ye have never seen? 1 John 4:20. My morning resolve continues, not only in great matters, but also in the little things of life. Jesus gave us a mini discourse on this verse in Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. The diglot used the word little for place, little in place of least. Jesus stressed the importance of faithfulness in little services, which may lead to greater opportunities and faithfulness in them. So being faithful to the Lord, the truth, and the brethren, and all with whom we have to do, is the responsibility of the Lord's people. The Apostle Paul sums it up in Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my welfare, for my highest welfare, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. The word trust and its related words appear 207 times in the Bible. The word trusting appears once, in Psalm 112:7, He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Our greatest security is experienced while in the hands of the Lord God. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. If we ever become discouraged, read Psalm 91. The dictionary defines providential of, by, or as if decreed by divine providence. The New Testament defines the word providence, forethought, that is, providential care or support. This means God is interested in all of our experiences and knowing the end from the beginning, is able to cause all things to work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8, 28 and 29. The promise of Zechariah 2:8 is, he that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of his eye. Our resolve continues. I will seek not only to be pure in heart. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There are three Greek words in the New Testament that are translated pure. The first word is hagnos, number 53, which means pure from defilement, not contaminated, from the same root word as hagios, holy. The second word is alikrines, 1506, and it signifies unalloyed, pure. Its derivation is uncertain, but two words have been suggested, and two vivid pictures have come about. It may come from a Greek word, which is alin, which means to shake in a sieve. And the meaning of the word may be sifted until absolute purity has been achieved. It may come from two Greek words, hyli, which means sunlight, and krinion, which means to judge. And the thought may be that of something which can be brought out of the trader's dark shop into the sunlight and can stand the light of day. The third word translated pure is katharos, 25:15, and is used 21 times, starting with Jesus' use of the word in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Katharos is the greatest of the three words. It means unadulterated and could be used of metal without alloy, of wine without water. It can mean a man ceremonial clean and therefore able to approach God. Above all, it means innocent and pure from sin. The basic idea is that which has no admixture of anything that is evil. Vine states, wine mixed with water may be hagnos, not being contaminated. It is not katharos when there is any mixture of any element, if the latter is not pure, it is not katharos. Now these definitions are taken from Barclay and Vine's word studies. I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. Our English word repel means to drive or force back, ward off, refuse to accept, agree to or submit to, reject. These definitions apply to all three categories, discontent, discouragement, and anxiety. Repel is a very positive word. Discontent means lack of contentment, dissatisfaction, restless desire for something more or different. Paul gave us the antidote for this vexing problem in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7 from NIV. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Discouragement means the fact, state, or feeling of being discouraged, to deprive of hope or confidence, disheartened. The antidote for discouragement is found in Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 4, which is a prophecy of our Lord Jesus. This is one of my favorite scriptures. The Lord God is speaking. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I will put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Anxiety means a state or feeling of uneasiness, apprehensive or worried about what may happen, concern about a possible future event. In our present day, anxiety fills the hearts of the world of mankind and may be contagious. Darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. Isaiah 60 verse 2. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after these things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Luke chapter 21 verse 25. While we too may be concerned, our faith and trust in God should be firmly established in his sure word of truth. After faithfully reading and identifying with my morning resolve, we may personally conclude like my morning resolve concludes. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust him, come what may. I would like to share with you an experience that I had in my lifetime, and that was my mother's desire and love for the morning resolve. Every morning she read the morning resolve, she read the manna, she read the text from the Bible from which the manna was taken from, and then she would read the article in the Watchtower. As she became older and as her eyes failed her, she could no longer read, and she could no longer witness. She no longer had opportunities. So at the testimony meeting, she would say, "For my testimony, I want to repeat my morning resolve," and she did it perfectly, not only once, but many times. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.